Welcome to the Radio Bible Course. We're studying John chapter 10, where Jesus has made a wonderful promise to everyone who believes in the Son of God. He said, "They will never perish, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." That's in John chapter 10. Welcome to the Radio Bible Course. Listen again how Jesus said it in verse 27 of John chapter 10. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This makes the believer in Jesus Christ very secure. It brings us peace and joy because everything depends upon the shepherd, not the sheep. There are some people who are not comfortable with the eternal salvation which God has promised. They somehow feel that they might lose it if they don't behave themselves. And the question we need to ask is, must one behave himself perfectly in order to retain eternal salvation? Is it a gift, or did we earn it? Now consider this. If we are told to stop working in order to get the eternal gift of God, how can the lack of works at a later time interfere with that gift of God or put it in jeopardy? Salvation is never in the Bible on the basis of works. It is always on the basis of what Christ did. And Jesus Christ is not called a helper. He's called the Savior. Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead, said to his 11 after his resurrection, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." This Jesus who sits in heaven, having ascended there to the right hand of power, said, "No one can snatch you out of his hand." Does he have all power? He does. So from that we can conclude that believers are unsnatchable, or if you want it, unpluckable. No one can take them away from the Father. Think of this. If a single person who belonged to the great shepherd is lost, if a single believer is lost, God would be defeated. But we have in verses 28 and 29 the declaration of double security. For Jesus said, "No one shall snatch them out of my hand." And then he said, "No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." The promise here is comparable to the double assurance expressed in Hebrews chapter 6. Get the meaning of this. Hebrews 6, verse 17. "So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he interposed with an oath, so that through two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible that God should prove false, we who have fled for refuge might take strong encouragement to seize the hope set before us." The old King James Version used the expression "two immutable things." What are they? One of them is God cannot lie. What's the other unchangeable thing? God took an oath. Now, you ought to be able to trust God without an oath because he is who he is and he can't possibly lie. But because we are such doubters, God did take an oath to what he promised to do. Now, that is strong. God is trying to convince doubting man that he ought to believe God and trust him. When you take an oath, it may not prove very much, other than that you intend, at least temporarily, to do what you promised to do. But when God took an oath, his whole character depended upon it. If God should ever go back on his word after having promised to the whole universe that he will give eternal life to everyone who believes in his wonderful Son, if God should ever go back on that word, then God would lose his reputation, and his character would be damaged. The God of Jesus Christ is the God who created all things. He is the God and Father of our Savior. There is none beside him. He is the great I Am, and you can trust him. Jesus authorized the disciples to tell the whole world that he died for sin and arose from the dead. They preached the blood of Christ, that it paid for all sins for all time, and they preached that God would forgive everyone who believed in that Son of God for the forgiveness of their sins. You see, believing is for a purpose, to get something. And the promise is for a purpose, to give you something. We don't just say we believe in Christ. We believe in Christ for something. What for? Well, there's an object to believing, to be saved, to be forgiven, and to get eternal life. And so that's how God put it, and the apostles went out and preached that. Now, I'm talking about forgiveness of sins. The shepherd laid down his life for his sheep, paying the debt that the Old Testament law demanded for sin. You and I have sinned. You and I still sin, but he paid it all, and he paid it once for all time, and he'll never come back and pay for it again, because he paid it in full. Now, don't go to church to get forgiveness of sins. That's not where you'll find it. Do instead what Peter said we ought to do. If you haven't done this, then there is an action to be taken on your part. Peter wrote, or rather spoke in Acts chapter 10, verse 43, "To him all the prophets bear witness, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." What did he say that men ought to do? They ought to believe in him, and then they would receive the forgiveness. And how soon would they receive it? Immediately. When you have believed in him for forgiveness and to save you, you have forgiveness and salvation. Believe it. Don't try to believe it. Believe it, for God is true. This is a promise from the Apostle Peter, authorized to speak it through the Son of God, who is authorized to speak it by the Father. This is the revelation of God, that forgiveness comes by believing, and nothing more than by believing. And this is the forgiveness that cleanses us for eternity. Once you have been washed, it's more than a washing, as it says in John chapter 13. That's where Jesus is washing the feet of the apostles, and Peter wanted to be washed all over. And Jesus said to him, "You don't need to be washed all over. You've already been cleansed by the Word. That is, you've been bathed once and for all." That's the forgiveness that we know by believing in Jesus Christ. All we need after that kind of a bath is to wash our hands and our feet, which come in contact with the sins of the world. And that's the cleansing of confession that comes thereafter. Christians are bathed people. And Paul put it that way when he wrote to the Corinthians. He said, "You were adulterers, homosexuals, fornicators, murderers, thieves, but you were washed." How? They believed in Christ. The blood of Christ bathed them and cleansed them from all their sins forever. Well, we have been cleansed for eternity, and without it we couldn't have eternal life. The shepherd had to die to save his sheep. And I think we can say this, that where you go depends upon whom you know. I'm thinking of what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 14. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." If you know Him, then you'll go where He goes. And I'm speaking of eternity. Now I think it's apropos to let the Apostle Paul speak on this subject, on this matter of security, before we move on in the text. And I think this will bless you, as it always does for anyone who reads it. It's Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, will He not also give us all things with Him? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Can being killed by the sword separate you from the love of Christ? Well, Paul answers, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors to Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Has Paul failed to mention something that can separate us from His love? Well, you might say Christ is up in heaven, but I'm down here. Well, height can't separate you. Or, what if I go into a submarine and it sinks and it's on the bottom of the ocean? Well, Paul's answer is, no depth can separate you. There is no place you can go, and even if you go into space and go to a far-off planet and can't get back, you are still not separated from the love of Christ. Nothing can separate us. Now that's something to rejoice over. Thank God for eternal salvation. And not only that, but thank God that our salvation rests in His hands and not in ours. Salvation is a gift. It is given freely to whoever will believe. God is looking for people who will dare to believe Him, and we hope you have. Well, we must close here. Tomorrow we'll begin with verse 30. I and the Father are one, Jesus said. You may have heard people say that the Bible promises to give a Christian anything he asks in Jesus' name. Honest people, however, will admit that they haven't received everything that they asked. Something must be wrong. And I think I know what it is. They didn't understand what it means to pray in His name. I'm afraid too many people think that God is a sugar daddy, waiting for people to ask anything they want and He'll give it to them. That's not what prayer is all about. Well, we think our 4 cassette tapes on understanding prayer are the answer to the kind of confusion that people have about prayer. Write today for information on how you can order Understanding Prayer. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.